Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Philadelphia police looking for whoever may be responsible for shooting at a driver more than 30 times in a hotel parking lot on Philadelphia's main line. So this shooting happened just around dinner time last night. Courtyard Marriott, which is 4100 block of Presidential Boulevard. This is Winfield Heights. So police say they found, investigators say they found 40 spent shell casings from a semi-automatic weapon or weapons. So we don't have the word, was it one shooter or two? But police say initially when they got there, they see this GMC Yukon riddled by gunfire, fleeing the hotel parking lot. Police follow that car and heads north on City Ave until it gets to the on-ramp to I-76 West.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's when they say it rear-ends this Mercedes-Benz heading in the same direction. Two people in that Mercedes in their 40s taken to the hospital. They're in stable condition. They're going to be okay. As for the driver of that GMC, police say it's a 26-year-old, suffered a graze wound to his abdomen. And so, you know, Philadelphia police saying this guy is so lucky because the vehicle was, you know, this large, he was in this large GMC Yukon, okay, hit over 30 times by gunfire.
We have a video of the,
unbelievable, not bulletproof.
Yeah.
We're on City Avenue, right under 76.
This is Steve Keeley, Fox 29.
Former colleague, Stevie.
Was hit with over 30 shots, point blank, at the driver.
It's an execution.
A 26-year-old man who's already treated and released from the hospital at Lankenau, grazed in the hit. These gunmen fired over 40 shots in the Marriott parking lot. Look at all the bullet holes all around where the driver was.
Wow, jeez. Look at that.
Somehow, all these shots go through the metal, through the door, through the driver's side door. Look at all these shots through the windshield. And only one of these shots grazes the 26-year-old man driving this car.
Stop that. One for 30? I mean, I know we have some bad shooters in this city, but my God.
So let me ask you guys this question.
It's like a spray.
Let me ask you guys this question. The guy a bad shot, or is a Denali like a tank?
His Denali looks like Denzel's Cadillac at the end of Training Day when the Russians whack him. Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
He's grateful to be alive.
YouTube.com/chat1210WPHG if you want to see the video that we just played.
And this is over where the radio stations used to be 15, 20 years ago.
This doesn't happen that way, right? Yeah, City App, kind of toward like Presidential Boulevard, like toward NBC 10.
Yeah.
I think where it is on the Montgomery County side.
Yeah. Know it well. Used to go down that way every way to get back on the Schuylkill to head back home.
So we don't know. In other words, is the 26-year-old, he's clearly the intended target, by the way, treated and released from Lankenau already this morning. But is the 26-year-old either the intended target for some other reason, or
that's
is this an attempt, right? Or is this an attempted carjacking, let's say, and then they get mad because he speeds off and they just spray the bullets at him.
Or did he try to skip out on his tab at TGI Fridays? Where's Iverson?
I know.
By the way, another video from Steve Keeley. This is one of the police chiefs talking about the incident. Roll this.
Looking at that Denali and all those bullets around that driver's head, body, and everything. Hard to believe he's even alive.
It's amazing. The vehicle that he was in was struck over 30 times by gunfire in the front windshield and the driver door area. So all these bullets more than likely passed through him within inches or less, and he has one graze wound to his abdomen. But this all started just before 6 p.m., still rush hour. 19th District Police get a couple calls for reports of gunshots at City Line and Presidential Boulevard. When police get there, they see this GMC Denali pulling out of the Marriott parking lot at a high rate of speed. They follow that vehicle northbound on City Line Avenue, and when it's about to get on to the on-ramp for westbound 76, that's where the vehicle rear-ends a Mercedes SUV, causing that Mercedes to lose control and jump the barrier. And police were able to take the 26-year-old driver out of the Yukon and rush him to Lankenau Hospital. He is extremely lucky. He has one graze wound to his abdomen. He's already been treated and released from Lackinac Hospital.
Whew. Now, if you notice, there's that, of course, is Chief Inspector Scott Small. And if you notice behind him, the big letters, big yellow letters, City Ave.
Yes.
But he accidentally said City Line.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
And
firing
so
squad.
Please don't give him the spanking machine. Because, you know, if you say City Ave, it removes the line or any crime or, you know, anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So there's that.
Boy, that guy hit the Powerball, did he not?
Well, they're hoping he'll talk since he was treated and released, if he knows.
Is there a description of the shooter?
No. No description. Nothing to see here.
Gotcha. Yeah. Just a normal everyday guy empties 40 rounds into a car. Nobody see nothing.
Yeah. I mean, Greg and Nick, come on. You get not for nothing, but you get a spray of bullets like every other
God.
Day, right?
That's man. Like, not exactly a high crime area over there. Well, at least right by that, you know, if you go up a little further on City Line Avenue.
You know, after further review, I think the GMC might be safer and cheaper than the Golden Dome to protect America. To rebalance the defense budget here.
So we do have we don't have that most wanted gunman who, you know, sprayed the bullets at the Yukon there. We still don't have a description or suspects in custody from the mass shooting that happened just Monday, Memorial Day, killing two and injuring nine others. But took 6 years, but they got a most wanted murder fugitive, 26-year-old Kari Murphy, who has been evading law enforcement for, more than 6 years, according to police. So today, this is U.S. Marshals Service from Philadelphia arresting this guy on the 4300 block of Ridge Road. This is Trainer, Pennsylvania. He was wanted by Philadelphia police for allegedly fatally shooting a 32-year-old man back in the day, 2600 block of North Chadwick Street. And that was way back on September 14th, 2018. So they got this guy in custody.
Good. Eventually, the law catches up to you. You can run, but you can't hide, pal.
So we have many most wanteds, I suppose, on the streets just from this week's violent crimes, but they were able to get this guy. And speaking of follow-up stories, you'll remember this story when I say it. This was a man who gunned down members of his own family. This is Bucks County, pleading guilty in court to three counts of first-degree murder. Andre Gordon, he entered that guilty plea at the Bucks County, the Justice Center there yesterday, sentenced to three life sentences in prison without the possibility of parole. So you may wonder, why did the DA, Jennifer Shorn, why did she go for this as far as three life sentences? Because the fear sometimes is moving forward. They change laws or they change parole laws. And so by sentencing the three life sentences without parole, without the possibility, they want to ensure that this guy dies behind bars for this heinous crime. And that's why they did that, because we've seen that over the years. You know, just ask Maureen Faulkner, for example, and then you go through all the appeals. In this case, this was Gordon. He confessed to the murder of his stepmother, 52-year-old Karen Gordon, his 13-year-old half-sister, Kira Gordon, 25-year-old Taylor Daniel, whom he had two daughters with, and she was then killed as the two little girls hid under the covers about a foot away as their mommy was murdered. They played, it was very emotional in court. They played all of the 911 calls and different audio, just really a devastating situation with the impact, the victim impact statements, even the children's written word from their interviews, from their counselors. So Karen Gordon's brother, Joshua, speaking out in court, Joshua Daly, describing his sister, one of the murder victims, as an Army veteran, mom, sister, and wife. So Gordon not saying anything before he was sentenced. But this crime spree, if you remember this, there were multiple locations. He carjacked a woman in Trenton, New Jersey, used her car to travel to Bucks County. If you remember this, there were multiple points as he was on this murder spree, and they finally caught up with him after an hours-long standoff at a home in the city where Gordon was hiding at that point. So it was a consuming day back then with many victims. It's just a real tragedy.
Firing squad. Unfortunately, it'll be life, but firing squad.
So I wanted to bring forth a little bit of good news, and I'm doing all local because there's so much local. There's a lot of ton of national, too. But in this one, we've talked a lot about that 4th of July parade, celebrating, of course, our nation's freedom in White Marsh Township. It's back on.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah. See what the power of 1210 can do.
Here it is.
Yeah, the guy.
So just a review, Board of Supervisors voting to cancel the 70-year-old tradition, which the township had said they had to pay for about $250,000 for security. They were worried about that. There was a community meeting. We reported all of this step by step. The community very upset about this because there was not any specific threat. It was just the fear that because of all of the violence we've seen over around the nation and so on, they were worried they couldn't afford the enhanced security. But they came back with an enhanced security plan that they're working on, and they're doing this over the next couple of weeks to make sure that they can keep the 4th of July parade as safe as possible. It's Montgomery County, White mm-hmm. Marsh Township.
Oh, good. Maybe now more than the Curve, the website can write an apology about the hit piece they wrote about me. Yes. This guy's on their bloviating saying it has to do with anti-Semitism. Okay.
It's back on.
Good.
I think it was widely just people are going, what? And there was no direct threat. So they did apologize. And so it's back on.
Good. Thank God.
That's the good
the
news.
The power of this radio station.
Woohoo!
And you people who listen that voiced your displeasure about this. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we have that going on. We have a lot moving on, but I'll just say this. I know this is news you can use. If you go to any state-level park or any state building, I just want you to know there's a new initiative to provide free menstrual products in our 68 state parks across the great Commonwealth
Thank
of Pennsylvania.
God.
For men and women or just women?
To her credit, First Lady Lori Shapiro did say that girls and ladies, you go to a state park and, maybe you get a little surprise situation there. And so you shouldn't have to cancel your trip to the park.
Good.
So they do want to provide these services.
There you go.
So we got that going for
us. Take care of the women.
Which is nice. They didn't say, like, periods for people.
Period people.
So we got that going on. And it's as we lead to weather with Nick Hale, doubleheader because, of course, Phil's canceled because of the rain yesterday, doubleheader today, and Bryce Harper with that not broken bone on the elbow, but I imagine a pretty nasty bruise. But will they get the game in, Nick Hale?
Yeah, 57 degrees today, dawn with showers tapering off. I have nothing to do with the weather. I just read it. A high of 75 today. And it's sponsored by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com.
Doubleheader today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Sorry.
A little bit of, might be some sprinkles, like some scattered storms on Friday and Saturday, but still some sun and some nice weather. By the way, we're going up to like 82 on Monday, 85 the middle of next
Beautiful.
Week.
Beautiful. That's what we need.
The heat is on.
Come on.
It's time
let's
to
do
dry
this.
Out, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Kale and Company, the big take is coming up next here on a Thursday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale and Company.
The Big Take, waging war within. No matter which way you look, we have battles in every direction. Trump v. the media, Trump v. Harvard, Trump v. judges. Our involvement in settling the Middle East and Russia, Ukraine. AOC wants to abolish ICE. On and on and on we go. But the two most important battles going on right now are how Democrats are devouring their own and how the swamp is trying to save their slush funds after talking a good game about the concept of Doge and Elon Musk's work on exposing waste, fraud, and abuse. Both parties waging war within. Now, 2025 may seem like an off year, but it's not. New Jersey will be electing a new governor. Maybe it goes red. Virginia electing a new governor. It appears, and likely, it'll go blue. But what you get accomplished in 2025 will ultimately impact how the 2026 midterms play out next fall, which is only 16 months away, and it'll be here before you know it. We start with the Democrats. We'll get to the Republicans coming up in about 10 minutes. But I've said it for years on this show, when push comes to shove, the left will eat their own. From Jake Tapper to Joe Scarborough to Pete Buttigieg to even DNC Vice Chair David Hogg, and we have all of the receipts. And this is what happens when you fail miserably. This is the culmination of a multi-year grift. This has gone from a search and rescue mission to a recovery mission in the category of credibility. Let's start with Jake Tapper of CNN, who has gone from promoting his book to calling the Biden cover-up worse than Watergate to now actually sounding like a host on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Listen and watch this.
I went on a left-leaning podcast that shall remain nameless, and we were talking about my kids, because I think they were both people without kids. And they asked me about my son, and I said he was, you know, he's a football player, and he wants to be a policeman. And their joke was about my 15-year-old son, oh, how does he feel about minorities? Like the idea that he wants to be a policeman, therefore he's racist, my son. And like, you know, that was the big laugh. And then I got dragged in the comments and all that stuff. And I thought to myself, this is why you are losing elections.
100%.
Like my football playing son, who has no political views, he's 15. He thinks about World War II and gaming and playing linebacker. That's his world. You're deciding he's a racist because he wants to be a cop. And why does he want to be a cop? He wants to be a cop because he wants to help people, you know, and he thinks that's the best way he can help people. And that's how the Democratic Party talks to men, not just white men, but men. And, I mean, I get the idea that they thought Tim Walz could what's the term he used, code switch or something? He thought that he could translate the Democratic Party values because he hunts and fishes and owns a gun and was in the army and drinks a beer. I mean, at least there was an attempt, but I find it just insane.
Hey, Jakey, welcome to the world the rest of us have been living in. Sucks, doesn't it? But let's zero in on what Jake said about how Democrats talk to men. We gave you the story on Monday about Democrats spending $20 million to connect with young men. That article was written in the New York Times. Now the Washington Post with this column. Headline, quote, Democratic troubles revive debate over left-wing buzzwords. I love buzzwords. They write, from intersectionality to equity, many say their jargon is alienating voters, but progressives say inclusive language is vital, end quote. They still don't get it, do they? Nope, they don't. And hopefully, they never will. Even Morning Schmo of MSNBC is pointing out the failures of left-wing groupthink and how it backfires come election time. Listen and watch this.
Now we talk about why the left may be adrift and at loss. The other side of that is the intellectual laziness that that occurs every time you open your mouth and they all agree with you.
Yeah.
And you're part of groupthink. So you never have to defend your idea. So when you go out and run a campaign and you think everybody's going to agree with you, it's just the opposite. You never had to be on your toes before intellectually, and now you do.
How about that from Morning Joe? Ah. If you're a Trump supporter and you're encouraged by Gen Z males voting Trump, you'll love this column from New York Magazine. Headline, are Gen Z Republicans a blip or a trend? Ed Kilgore wrote the following, quote, as more definitive data about the 2024 election results has emerged, many of the trends identified by exit polls and other polling around Election Day are being confirmed. The big development was a Republican trend among young voters and non-white voters, along with an intensified gender gap, all in the context of a high turnout presidential election. It's also increasingly clear that while Republicans may have enjoyed a small turnout advantage in their base demographic groups, Trump ultimately won by increasing his share of persuadable voters. One of the most surprising developments, they write, of the 2024 election, a sharp rightward shift amongst the very youngest voters, particularly men. This reversed a powerful leftward trend among under 30 voters that gained steam after the Great Recession, and which gave Democrats considerable confidence that the future belonged to them. Now, not so much, end quote. So why is this occurring? Well, many reasons. But being talked down to is always a recipe to lose people in any endeavor, much less politics, when you're seeking their vote. Even Mayor Pete is slaying his past colleagues in this administration. Listen and watch this.
Look, I mean, there's, Democrats have created this impression, I think partly because of the way we feel and talk about Trump, have created this impression that that translates into the way we feel and talk about people who supported him. And that's the thing that I think really is a cultural struggle in our party. There's this sense of condescension. I mean, if I hear one more time, like a well-off liberal doctor or lawyer saying, that quote unquote, these folks are voting against their economic interests, I just wonder whether they ever contemplated the fact that somebody could turn around and say, so are you. There's a condescension that is imputed to Democrats that I think we really need to deal with. So much of politics is not just how you make people feel, but how you make people feel about themselves. And so much of what they think of you comes down to what they think you think of them. And largely because of our very justified horror at the abuses of Donald Trump as a candidate and as a president, we've said and done things that make voters feel like we're talking about them when we're talking about him.
Probably not the smartest strategic move to call 62 plus million people deplorables. Tapper, Scarborough, even Pete, they are the past. No longer in their media primes, no longer in office. But David Hogg, he is. And it's laughable, in my opinion, that the DNC thinks that this guy will advise the Democrats on how to have success in future elections. And after being outed by his own party for not following the DEI initiatives during the selection process and what it requires, he's now spilling the beans to Project Veritas. Except he didn't know it. Here we go as Hogg gets O'Keefed. Listen and watch.
Yes, nice to meet you. Yeah.
Off the record, of course.
Foundational question for me is, like, how corrupt is the DNC if so many people knew, or few people knew about Biden?
Well,
like, the president of the United States.
I mean, I think the fact of the matter is the DNC is always going to be like a campaign arm of the president, ultimately. The bigger issue was, like, the inner circle that was around Biden. That's it.
And I can't stress to you enough.
Like, Joe Biden's chief of staff, like, had an enormous amount of power.
Joe Biden?
Jill Biden's chief of staff.
That was like an open secret at the left. Like, I would avoid him. Like, he was scary.
What was his name?
Anthony from Congress.
I've never seen him.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
He's just like a shadowy, like, Wizard of Oz type figure. That's what made him so, like, I knew how he looked, but I'm like, the general public wouldn't know how this man looked. But he wielded an enormous amount of power, and I can't stress to you how much power he had at the White House.
Perhaps the power of the auto pen. Sounds deep state-ish, does it not? We'll get to the Republican Party coming up next, as MAGA Mike and Musk appear to be ready to square off over next week's Doge Cuts vote. But right now, the Democrat Party is in shambles. The blame game is being played. Pointing fingers, the lies, the deceit, the lack of transparency, being shown the light, which is the ultimate disinfectant. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take, if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, you can let it rip in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons while you are there. We'll get to the Doge vote coming up next week in a few minutes. But first, get Dawn's thoughts. I'll tell you, Dawn, it seems like the Democrats right now are scurrying like rats off the deck as the Titanic has hit an iceberg and it's about to capsize. Reminds me of the husband from the Titanic. Remember when he was trying to jump in the boat and he was going to go around and avert the kids? Women and children first! And Billy Zane wanted to get on to save his own life. It's no longer a search and rescue now. It's a recovery mission.
Yeah, here's the thing with Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper should thank President Trump for winning and thank all of us for voting him in, for most of the country for voting him in, because Jake Tapper never would have admitted what he admitted had his side that he was, I think, complicit in, had the Democrats won the White House.
Of course, none of this is going on if Kamala's in the White House today.
So he would never have admitted what he just admitted and had that moment, that revelation about his son. So I have no real sympathy. It's like, oh, so now you're admitting this and maybe you're trying to sound sympathetic, but where were these words and where was this attitude, you know, prior to last November, Jake?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that. As far as Pete Buttigieg, he is wrong. He has it backwards. As far as Trump, it's exactly the opposite of what he said. So in other words, it's for me, when I look at what he's saying, no. Trump is a reaction to everything. It's not a cause and effect. And so that's what they don't get it. They don't understand it, that with Trump, he was the answer to all of this. And putting down men, putting down, you know, working people, all of this has been going on for years and years and years, this buildup. And so those 18 to 29 year olds, and that's what everybody's freaked out about as far as the Democrats, the mm-hmm. latest, you know, that catalyst study that we talked about, that these 18 to 29 year olds think about what's going on in their lifetime. They were the boys when they were in third, fourth, fifth grade, right? Middle school. And they were part of impacted by the pandemic, depending on where you were, schools shut down. But even before the pandemic, they were the boys, the now 18 to 29 year olds, who were told to apologize for being male.
Yeah.
Since they were little kids.
Hey, Jake Tapper goes on that left leaning podcast that he says will remain unnamed. And they ask him about his 15 year old boy. He says, yeah, I'm a linebacker. I play high school football. He's probably a freshman in high school. He wants to be a cop. And the snarky response, according to Jake Tapper, is, oh, so what is your son's thoughts on minorities? Well, because you want to be a cop, you're racist? That's the mindset right there and the attitude that has made this toxic level of anti-male verbiage from the Democrats. And by the way, if you think Mayor Pete growing a beard is going to appeal to the side of politics and the demographic that you have denigrated for a decade, you don't know your ass from your elbow. Mayor Pete doesn't resonate with any dudes that you disparage. Not at all. So they can keep trotting him out all they want. And news for you, growing a beard ain't going to change who you are.
Well, and was it the Prof G Pod? That was the podcast?
I don't know.
He was on a couple podcasts. But the dopes on the podcast, and I think they're white guys, it's like, dude, do you even understand that if you're a teenager and you're playing on a football team, you're playing on a team that's your teammates,
yeah,
who you spend basically 7 days a week with, are very diverse.
Yes, football players in the
right?
locker room are not calculating the diversity of the roster.
Well, no, they're not all white guys.
Correct.
Right?
They don't care.
At least 50%. I mean, I know because I have football players. Like,
yep,
they're at least 50% African-American, no matter where.
Yep.
If it's the most elite private school or it's the public school, whatever that looks like. So it's like, these guys are idiots.
Mm-hmm. Stocker, you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say this about Jake Tapper. He went on Stephen A. Smith and asked, since we're talking about it, I want to play this. This is 28, Phil. He asked him about cashing in on his book after he actively participated in the cover-up of Biden's decline? Jake Tapper didn't have the best answer.
Okay.
Roll this.
In terms of the left, it's a money grab. I mean, that's not the case. It's not – this is – I don't want to get into where my money comes from, but I'm – you know, CNN is my main job, and that's where my main source of income by far. Very few people write books to make money. You write a book because you want to say something. You want to have a legacy. You want to uncover something. You have a message you want to get out there. I don't think people write books about Joe Biden to make money. We are gratified that people are buying this book.
That's a good point.
But I don't think the idea that I would do this for money.
No, it's not.
It's silly and not true.
It's silly.
So Jake, you're writing a book about your legacy. Your legacy is shot, and you're saying you want to uncover things. All you did was cover up the biggest story of that administration. And by the way, people don't write books. Well, according to Bernie Sanders.
I was just going to say that.
So we're on the same wavelength. Yes. Oh, I can afford four houses because I've had successful books.
And by the way, the advance that these two probably got for inside dirt on the Biden administration is I can't imagine what the advance was.
Probably trumps whatever you get from people that purchase it through Amazon or a bookstore, right?
But again, it's probably more than Alex Thompson or whatever the hell that guy's name is from Axios.
Who doesn't speak.
Has ever seen. But for Jake Tapper, who's making, what do you think, Dawn, $8 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Like it probably is a drop in the bucket,
right?
You know what I mean?
Kids' college tuition,
exactly. So maybe I'm just spitballing numbers here, but maybe the $1 million or $2 that they got for writing this book is not a lot to Jake Tapper, but that's a big number.
Yep.
That's a big number.
Yes, right.
It's a big number because his contract's probably not going to be renewed, or if it is,
not at that rate of
$8 million. He's not going to make no. Nobody is getting big raises, especially in national television, which is why they're all leaving. Like Lester Holt, Hoda Kotb, who they're just waiting for their contracts to come up.
855-839-1210. Coming up next, the White House is sending the $9.4 billion DOGE cuts package to Congress next week. How will it play out? We'll talk about it next here on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
First, I got to talk about my friends from Piazza Auto Group. You know, summer's right around the corner. Maybe you're planning that summer road trip. And when we think about Piazza Auto Group, you know, my friends at Piazza Auto Group, they're the best. I'm reporting now from the Piazza Premium and Piazza Auto Group studios. You've heard me talk about the extensive crossover and SUV lineup available at Piazza Mazda. Well, right now, they're offering 1.9% financing on the capable CX-50, the three-row CX-90, and the CX-70, which is a plug-in hybrid. The sleek Mazda CX-5 and the sporty CX-30, they're available at 2.9%, all for 36 months. So just shop with confidence at Piazza Mazda, either in Westchester or Reading, as current inventory, of course, is unaffected by any kind of new tariffs. Visit PiazzaMazda.com today, PIAZZA, PiazzaMazda.com. Do this today. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The proposal is called a recessions package, a vehicle for the president to block funds that were already allocated by Congress in its yearly appropriations process. Once transmitted to Capitol Hill, lawmakers will have 45 days to take it up before it is voided. And it could be in Marjorie Taylor Greene, we trust. We all know, if you listen to this show, I have a love-hate relationship with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I love her policies. Her and I agree on almost everything policy-wise. I just think she's a bit of an attention whore, and I don't like the way she goes about her business at times.
I would love if she just came here in person.
Power clean.
I wouldn't.
And you interviewed her in person.
I wouldn't.
And I dare you to call her a attention whore.
I would never do that.
Because she would
never
clean
do that
you up the floor.
We have radio muscles.
I'm a radio tough guy. I'm actually a jellyfish in real life, folks.
Nick,
like steroids.
She'd be like, I put up my bar that I work out on, like my different acrobatic bars.
45
pound. Kick you in the head.
45 pound plates on each side in my garage in Rome, Georgia. They love me in Rome. That's my district.
I got a tight little body. I'm going to kick you upside the head.
Let's have a tight body. Something I do not.
She's a little loose with the morals, too.
She is.
Right.
I mean, she's had a lot of affairs.
Well, she has.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, who hasn't in Congress, right? That's like a prerequisite. But anywho, Marjorie Taylor Greene took to social media on Wednesday and said the following. Personally, I want to pass DOGE cuts every single week until the bloated budget out of control in government is reined back in. As a country, we cannot survive our national debt, and honestly, we may be past the point of return. We should be aggressively attacking our debt and aggressively cutting all waste, fraud, and abuse and unnecessary programs. Our future literally is in peril. And I've said this many times, you can't just keep kicking the can down the road. That's why we're in the predicament that we are in. And now, of course, Elon Musk is, you know, his time is up with DOGE, which, by the way, I got to rip the AP. Ridiculous headline from them last night. Breaking news! Elon Musk leaves the Trump administration after turbulent effort to slash government. He had 130 days. If you look at a calendar, May 28th was the 130th day. Now, is there obviously a little bit of a rift between he and Trump on the vision of DOGE and some other things that are in the big, beautiful bill? Elon says, well, it can't be big and beautiful. It can't be both. It's got to be one or the other. Yes, I said that was going to happen. Eventually, they would butt heads. The bigger issue, I think, is the swamp rhinos in Congress and in the Senate that aren't going to go forward with what the American people have mandated. I think it was Harvard or CAP, the Harvard CAPS poll. 73% of Americans want the cuts from DOGE. So now you've got publications like Vanity Fair. Elon Musk is playing the blame game. And I want to throw this up, Phil. This is that Senate graphic I've referenced in the last 2 weeks. These are the Senate Republicans, 26, that voted against codifying DOGE foreign aid spending cuts. You see all the pictures there. There's 26 of them in the graphic. The 10 most notable by name: Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, Chuck Grassley, Mitch McConnell, Dave McCormick, Mark Wayne Mullen, Murkowski, Tim Scott, John Thune, Tillis, and a bunch of other bozos. So we're going to see how they vote next week. And this is one of those things where I'm going to keep track of every single name that votes against this. And all of these weasels, perhaps even ones that I voted for in this state of Pennsylvania, that are not on board with this. That are not on board with this. I just don't understand this. I don't understand why we have to keep, especially the ones on here. And off the top of my head, I can't recall how many are Trump endorsed, but I know McCormick is Trump endorsed. We want this. And now all of a sudden you get in there after you get the endorsement, after you said you're going to cut the waste, fraud, and abuse, and you're against it for some reason. I'd love to know the explanation.
Just curious, because Dave McCormick's been on this station a million times. Has anybody asked him about this?
Just infuriated.
I just had him on. I did not ask him because he was live from Saudi. No, I would have, but I had other pertinent, like, breaking news questions.
Did Zioli ask him about him? Because I know Zioli just had him on, too. Did Zioli ask about him? Did anybody ask
him? I'll have him on again. We can have him on. You know, we can get him on. I'll ask him.
Okay.
He's on, like, a lot.
I mean, if I'm misunderstanding something in the bill and there's some stuff that is a red flag, I mean, honestly, nobody has really seen it. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene says she hasn't read it yet. It hasn't come across her desk. So I can't sit here and say that I'm more well-versed than any of these guys that have actually looked at it or contributed to it in any shape or form. But I just would like to know an explanation. And then I look at the calendar. Steve Scalise, the majority leader calendar for Congress, we're down to 26 days. These people, if Phil, if you want to throw the graphic up, they only work 26 more days.
Oh, my God. Look at that schedule.
Well, this looks like our schedule, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
No.
Look at this schedule.
I want to point this out.
Fire all of them. Every single one of them.
$79,000 a year these people make.
Four, 14 days in June. Look at June. We're coming up on June. 14 days in June, 12 days in July. And they're off for August. Now, Stalker's off for August
as
well.
That's true.
But 26 days they work for the next 3 months. And if this bill doesn't get passed with DOGE coming up and the budget doesn't get set, we're letting Democrats, I shouldn't say we, but I'm going to be pissed off because my party is letting the Democrats back in the game with big disastrous things on spending.
And by the way, guys, if you look at the days they're there, they're off Fridays.
Every Friday.
Oh, it's just nauseating. These people.
This is why, what did Trump say? Was it July? I think he said by July 9th. I keep hearing that July, either before the 4th. No, it's going to be the 9th. But this is why they're giving those timelines. I also think with the Senate, there's a little bit of a snootiness in the Senate because they're more, you know, we're here for many years and we're the smart elite ones.
You're right.
And so you plebs in the House, you know, every 2 years and you're the little people. And then we get it and we're the smarter people.
They're the tenured professors.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I do think there's a piece of that with the ego. I'm really serious here that they want to, they will definitely put their stamp on it. They will rewrite things, even with the big, beautiful bill, what Doge, whatever that looks like. But they definitely, it won't look the same. They're going to debate it. I think they're going to pass all of it.
I hope so.
But I think that they will change it.
Just curious, what put that graphic up again, Phil. What happens in November that they work 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days?
Huh.
Like why is November the big month that they're off?
They work those 3 days leading up to Election Day. Or actually, Election Day is Tuesday, November 4th. Mm-hmm. So they'll work 2 days before, 2 days after. You get a full week off, come back for a 4 day week, and then they shut down for Thanksgiving.
They're criminals.
Yep.
They're just stealing our money.
Yep.
They're stealing our money.
And the starting cop, you said the number yesterday.
64.
In Philadelphia.
Plus a $12,000 signing bonus.
So think about that. Philadelphia police and most law enforcement, and that's probably a lot. It's a big city like Philadelphia where you're basically getting shot at every other day.
Yeah.
64K. And these doofuses
make triple that.
It's insane.
Triple that.
Yes, yes, Road Warrior. It does look like Rich Zioli's schedule.
Sean.
Part-time host, Rich Zioli. All right, we have to break.
All right, Kale and Company news to kick off hour two, and then we'll have some fun. We've got some Bobby Kennedy stories to get to on the Maha front, as well as I also have to call out RFK Jr. Dude, you've been censored and shut down more than anybody. Now you want to do it to somebody else? I got to call you out, bro.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.